All right, Jess, how's it going?
It's going okay.
I'm glad you found time today, because I gotta hit you. I really wanted to hit you up before the holidays, because the holidays are gonna come, and then we're not gonna have time. But I really wanna tell you this.
Yeah, I want to hear it. This is good stuff. Yeah,
it's fucking crazy. All right, short to make a long story short, I got canned.
Yay! Got laid off. Cue fireworks and applause.
Yeah, well, it was weird because, I mean, it's good because, as you know, I was like planning on resigning in February after this contract's over. And I get this email at my personal email, and it's from my law firm boss. And she's like,
wait, the law firm that you are actually hired at, not the one you're contracted at?
Yeah, I'm at a client right now, a major bank, right?
Yeah, you and got loaned out.
I got so loaned
this
out.
This is like HQ calling the mothership calling
the
you.
Mothership, yeah. And okay. And my law firm boss, who is, it's like one of those things where when you see her name in your inbox, you're like, oh fuck. Like even when it's just normal work, you're like, oh shit. She's tough. So I actually really I would not say I enjoy working for her, but I have a lot of respect for her in a weird way.
Mm. I know that feeling.
So yeah, but it's not pleasant to get an email from her. And so she sends me this email and I get it in my personal email, and she's like, Teen, I've been trying to contact you for several days. She was like, we need to have a Zoom call tomorrow. It's urgent and we need to do it before the holiday break. So you need to be on this call.
Mm.
And so I replied and I was like, oh, I was like, you got my email wrong. I was like, you've been sending, they misspelled my name over at the client. That's why I haven't seen your emails. But yeah, I'll be on tomorrow. Right. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, like the second I see that email from her, like, even though I know that I don't care because I'm planning to resign, and if your plan is to resign, like literally nothing is, there could be really no really bad news, right?
Mm.
It's still fucking stressful. It's just still, it's like ingrained sort of dread. And it just recalled, you know, exactly all of the weird fucking, in my mind, like the really strange relationship that people have with their job. At least I do. I talk to enough people where I think like this is, it's not uncommon, you know, and I'm like, shit, like what, you know, what's going to happen? And so I just start, I don't know how you'd handle these situations, but I just start like thinking about scenarios, like what's the worst case scenario?
Oh, for sure.
All the way through to best. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just sitting there preparing. You know,
I mean, it still sucks. Like, if you know that, I remember you hit me up saying, like, I think I know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that that instinct kicked in immediately. And it's there's a little like head game you got to play with yourself. Even when you know you're going to walk, you still want it to be completely on your own terms. There's still something really like ingrained in you that you need everything to just be cool regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's beyond like the practicalities of it. It's the fact that like this is, you have a relationship with work. You have a relationship with this, your employer. And it, no matter what you say, you know, like however much you try to reduce that to a simple basic economic relationship, like you cannot function without some level of enmeshment with the job where it does become a part of you. You know, like you do kind of care about whether you're good at, you know what I mean? Like it's hard to completely divest yourself of work while also showing up and doing your job.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh shit. Like what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is you get fired for cause. And they start, and I've seen that happen, and it's not pleasant. and you know, they start. I was like, I doubt that's what it is, because when you get fired for cause, it happens immediately. They don't like tell you tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't tell you at all. Like, I've seen it happen. I was up close and personal to one of a for cause firing recently, and you know, they have security come and get you and stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So
you get perp walked.
You get perp walked. Yeah. You get perp walked. And, but then there's many problems with that. Cause it's like, on one, it's like you get fired for cause, the problem compounds. One, there's no severance package. Right. And then two, well, there's no unemployment insurance after right. that. And then three,
you're fucked trying to find the next thing you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Cause they're not going to serve as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're leaving on bad terms, and your employer is basically saying, get the fuck out of here. Like, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Know?
But I also have the power to fuck up your future as well.
Yeah. And we intend to, because we're certainly right. not going to fucking go to bat for you. And every employer wants references now. Right. I mean, right. who doesn't want references? So even if you're ready to walk, there's still that part of you that's like, one, I don't want this to end badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you start thinking, I don't know how you feel, but I think everyone kind of knows that, you know, their employer could probably cook up reasons to fire cause.
I saw that happen very recently. It's not someone I directly know, but basically, you know, it should come as no surprise. The job market is screwed up right now. It's times are tough for everybody. So this is a woman who got back from maternity leave and was fired for cause about a month after she got back.
How's that possible? Like, how did, you know, if you're gone for that long, like, what's the cause, you know, like being gone, you know, like, what?
I mean, the pretext was so shallow that she did not CC somebody she should have CC'd on an important internal email or something on a briefing. It's a totally cooked. They totally cooked it to get rid of somebody who just came back from maternity leave.
Has she considered talking to a lawyer?
She was recommended several, so I hope she takes them up on it. But she was primary breadwinner. I mean, from context, you can gather she just had a baby.
And that now makes it really ripe. That's really weird that they would do that, because, like, if you just came back from maternity leave, you have like kind of. You kind of have a case, you know what I mean? Like, they're discriminating against women who have babies, you know?
Yeah. And this is, I have a feeling a lot of this is going down. Cause I mean, on their end, they kind of want this because they waited like some bare minimum. They talked to HR. What's the minimum amount of time after she comes back from maternity leave to fire her for cause and have our asses covered on this?
I don't understand why they don't just give her severance and lay her off.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know. She must have been earning pretty well, because you don't have to give severance after that.
Well, I mean, you never have to give severance, but like what happens is you offer enough severance where the ex-employee, soon to be ex-employee, signs a bunch of papers in exchange for severance, and in those papers is basically a waiver of all rights to sue for anything, right?
So I don't know the ins and outs of all of that, but it's like this was a seriously messed up situation.
That's really terrible. Though she should absolutely call a lawyer, in my opinion. Because the employer leaves themselves open if they do that. You know, like, if it's bullshit and she got fired for cause and she just came off maternity leave, like, that's
like, how much could she have screwed up a month after she comes back?
Right. Exactly. So I mean, they probably like try to tank her review and all that shit, but like, I don't know. I feel the fact that she just came off maternity makes it extra juicy.
And yeah, there's a case there, but it's also like who needs this shit with basically a newborn at home? I mean, like a baby at home.
Well, yeah. I mean,
this is crazy. You're like, well, why aren't people having more babies? Well, I don't know. I just have this is a fresh example of why that family got fucked over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. So we're raised to really drink the Kool-Aid on the existential value of work.
It's, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm like someone who I think I pride myself on trying to, like not entangle myself with that shit, right? Where I'm like, look, work is work, and you're your own man and all this stuff. But even in my, I mean, like at this moment, I'm extremely happy. And I'll tell you how everything went down. But even at that point, you're kind of like, it's just kind of like personally, it's kind of a personal crisis when you get that message of like, we need to talk, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm like, all right. And you know, and the funny thing is like, you know what's going on. I'm like, all right, it's no secret that like my, and I'll get into this, but like, it's no secret that my employer is not particularly doing well right now. They went through a merger. That merger has been a flop. People are leaving. And I know that a lot of the people that were on my team apparently have disappeared because I haven't seen them or heard from them in a long time.
Mm.
So I'm like, this is a stealth layoff probably. So I'm like, probably it'll be a layoff. Probably I'm going to get, you know, like a dishonorable, an honorable discharge, if you will. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be good because I want to leave anyway. And I'm like, kind of sucks. Cause I wanted to finish this out till February. And then that would be great. Would be like, you know, and then worst case scenario is like, I get on the call and they start asking me really pointed questions about like, you know, seems like you've been slacking, you know,
yeah. Shit.
Can you explain yourself?
Yeah.
Which I have, obviously. And
yeah, you sort of do your own little, like minority report thing where you go do a highlights reel of all the shit you've slacked off on or the little mistakes you've made.
Yeah. And you're like, which one are they going to fuck me on? You know? And you're like, is it the fact that I like almost never go in even though I'm supposed to, you know, like, is it that, you know, I'm logged in from home, like almost all the time. And, you know, I'm not, is it that, or is it the other shit? You know, I don't know what the other shit would be, but you know, I don't know. So I'm sitting there. I'm just like, all right. Worst case scenario, I get on this call and of course she's like, she sends me the email and she's like, got two people CC'd and she's like, they'll like, these two people from HR are going to be on the call. So I'm like, okay, I'm losing my job for fucking sure. Right. But I'm like, the only question now is like, is it an honorable or a dishonorable discharge? And then you start wondering, you're like, have I acted honorably? Not totally, you know? I take advantage of this, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess I tell myself, I'm like, all right. And I think this helps. Like, if you know you've got a tense call coming up, you got to run through all the scenarios. You got to Monte Carlo that shit. And so I'm like, okay, if she starts asking me or HR starts asking me like questions like, are you aware of what the in-office policy is at Citi? And are you aware that, you know, it's got to be this many days out of the, you know, I would be like, all right, tough questions, you know, lawyerly questions. I'd be like, all right, this was my plan. If it got to that point, I'd say, all right, look, I didn't know the topic of this call. I was just told to be on this call. So I'm not really prepared to answer any questions if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just here to listen. You know, I'm not really prepped for this, for a call where you're like asking me these questions. I don't know what to say. Meaning like, you can't force me to answer questions. What, you know, like, you know, this ain't no fucking subpoena or some shit, you know? So I figured, okay, I'm going to prepare myself. If it gets the worst case scenario, I'll be like, not prepared to answer any questions, you know, just tell me what you need to tell me. And then I was thinking everything else in between, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think like prepping like that actually just calms me down where I'm like, all right, well, at least I know how it's going to go.
Yeah, it's always the unknown that gets scarier. Once you nail it down, you can game plan every possible scenario.
And yeah, then, and you and start with obviously the worst. Mm-hmm. Once you've got the worst scenario set, then you're fine. And then everything else will just be cream. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I tell them, and then it was weird that like the next day I get on the call. And I was telling Shannon, I was like, I know exactly how this is going to go down. You know, I was like, she's going to tell me that there's, I don't know what she's going to say, but it's going to be something of to the effect of you're laid off, you're done, you're canned. And then followed by something like, you know, maybe I'll have a chance to say something. And then they'll hand it over to the two HR agents who will, you know, debrief me.
Yeah, and that sucks because it kind of puts you on the back foot. Like, am I going to have to plead for this job? I was going to leave.
It puts you. I'm not pleading. I mean, there's no point.
I know. Yeah. No. There's no. I know. I'm not saying you. That's the space you're in, but that's kind of the positioning that kind of situation.
Yes.
It puts you on the defensive.
It puts you very much on the defensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and here's the thing: is like you got to understand. I mean, I mean, you know this because I've talked to you about this, but like. Listening, it's like I want to leave. I mean, I don't want. Like, I was planning on resigning. You know what I mean? Like, not in the far future. Like, I was gonna resign. I was gonna give notice in like 6 weeks. You know, so I'm about as I don't give a fuck about this as you could possibly be, and I was still feeling that twinge of like dread. And that, I don't know, it just was an interesting thing, Jess, where it's like, you know, I think it's more than just straight up, you know, I need this job. How, you know, like, what's going to fucking happen if I, like, it's more than the loss of income because I don't care. I've already factored all of that in and I'm factoring all that in. My feeling was I'm going to leave. So I don't, you know, all the economic aspects of this, I've already processed and made a choice that is. No different than me getting canned, right? So, and I still felt it. So I feel like it must be something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I was surprised at how, like, kind of tense I was about this whole situation. But I prepared for it. And then the call came, and then she was, like, in a nicer mood than I expected, so I was like, oh, this will probably go okay. Like, she was like, hey, you know, and then she was like, yeah, you know, we're just it, you know, they didn't put it on purely economic terms. There was like you know, after assessing everything and, you know, after assessing your record there and all this stuff, I have bad news. And the bad news is that after the end of your assignment there, there's not going to be a place for you back here. And I was on mute and I didn't have my webcam on. Cause that was another thing. I was like, I'm not turning my webcam on for this.
Mm.
And, immediately I was like, wait, what the fuck? They're going to like keep me. They want me to finish out. Like they're going to keep me on until the end of this project. And then they're going to can me. I was like, oh. And then they were like, yeah, we really don't weigh, like, you know, just the harshness of telling, you know, giving bad news before the holidays. You know, obviously that's not ideal timing, but we figured that it's better to tell people with as much time as possible in advance so that, you know, you can get prepared for, you know, finding another job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was on mute and I was like, fucking yes. Like, they're gonna, like, this is amazing because this is the best of all possible outcomes. It's like, I get to work until the end so I can make my money until the end. And then on top of that, instead of resigning, they're going to give me a severance package and a gentle pat on the ass as I walk out the door. In fact, I never have to walk back in there. I just stay at home.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So nothing changed. So basically, I am going to continue working here until, you know, the scheduled end. And then they put me, and then essentially, I mean, it's complicated. Like, there's a whole thing where I'm still employed, but I can't go in the office. So I'm on garden leave and I'm supposed to find a job and all this stuff. But in effect, it means after my last day, they give me 2 months severance. And nice. I wasn't, you know, if I resigned, I wouldn't have that, you know? And so it was, you know, I knew, like, this was the benefit of, like, thinking through all scenarios was, like, I knew that she was going to tell me. I knew that she would then hand me off to the two HR agents so that we discuss the specifics and I could ask them about how it works. But that there would be a prompt that they would ask me what my response to this was, because I think they want to record a response. And I guess just out of a sense of, you know, decorum or, you know, whatever, is like, do you have any last words? You
know, like, yeah.
And so I had prepared. I was prepared. And so she was like, yeah, I'm going to hand you over to HR so you can work through the details, but I'm going to stay on just in case you have anything you want to say to me. And so I unmuted and I said, I just want to say that it's just been a real privilege working under you. And I was like, I think you're just, I've learned a ton. I think you're an incredible lawyer and the consummate professional. And I said in all honesty, like, this is just me being really honest about it, it's been nothing but a privilege from my end. And I think I caught her by surprise by saying that. She was very happy that I said that. And she was like, keep in touch. She was like, seriously, aww, keep in touch. I was like, yeah, she was like, whatever you need, you know, like, whatever you need in the future, you know, don't hesitate to contact me. Okay. And I said, thank you. Meaning she was like, I'll be a very strong reference for you, I think is what she's basically saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking from it.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I think it was really important for me to, like, have gone through all Monte Carlo'd out everything so that all my emotions were completely corralled and under control. And I had an internal script. Just like they have a script, I need a script. And the second, you know, the mic is handed to me, I know what to say, and I'm not overwhelmed with, like, weird, you know, anxieties and emotions and say something dumb. Because I could absolutely have said something really stupid. You know, like
that's very relatable.
Yeah. Cause, you know, and the thing is, like, it wasn't just tactical. Like, I think I really sorted through my feelings of, like, it is a privilege. I took from the firm as much as I gave, meaning, like, you know, this wasn't fucking charity. Like, I was getting paid, you know, and this is, I, you know, we all accept that it's at will employment. They don't owe me anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that, if I'm being honest, there were things about the job that made me really uncomfortable. So when she said that there's an issue of fit, meaning, like, we don't think there's a good fit here, I agree with that. I don't think I'm a good fit at all, because the fact is that the law firm model it just doesn't suit me, because there's, in my opinion, there's issues with the billing. Let's put it that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like to spend the amount of time on something that it takes and no more. And that's not how things work at the firm.
Like, choosing them billable hours?
More or less.
Okay.
You
gotcha.
Know? And it's done in a way where it's like, you can never complain. You never have the right to complain to the partners to say the issue is that there isn't enough available work to bill. There aren't enough client matter numbers to bill. it's always like, no, you just build, you come up with the bills. We will deal with what is passed along to the client, but you provide the raw material. Mm-hmm. It's not up to you to decide. If you're here every day, I want to see at least 9 to 10 hours of billable entries, and we'll decide which one of those gets through. And so it, you know, it's a billables factory. It's an hours factory. It's a, and you make up narratives about what you're doing, which is really fucking stressful because, you know, in times where there's just a shitload to do because there actually is a big, either a deal or an emergency, you know, something like that. Like during Silicon Valley Bank, that was an emergency. I was working through the weekends.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting. I don't mind doing that. I mean, you know, when you're a firm lawyer, it's like you get the call on Friday and it's like, you need to be fucking, I mean, this is how they talk to you. Teen, we got some, it's a big weekend. You know this. You need to be logged in through the entire weekend and you need to be checking messages and you need to be on top of stuff. This is not a drill. Do you understand? And I say, yes, I of course I understand. And I'm there, you know?
Mm.
Actually, that's not as stressful as when there's not much going on, but you still got to produce those kinds of bills.
Oh,
you know?
those are the worst. You got to like make busy work and yeah. just pull bullshit just completely out of your ears. It's very stressful. Ask any data scientist.
What do they, do they go by bills? Is that why?
I mean, it varies, but like, I mean, kind of the same. No, it's not by billable hours. I mean, the way we did it, I was always hired out. So I'd be like temped out at a healthcare provider or something like that. And they just have like extraordinary demands of some weeks. And then some weeks it's just nothing.
Right.
But you still have to act like you're super, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbecoming to just sit there and twiddling your thumbs like, well, I'm just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He became very passive aggressive. Like if I'm waiting on something and I can see him slacking off in his office, I'll just make a show of being super bored or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, those little like psychological games that happen in cubicles. It's awful. It's why I dipped out as soon as I could.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm dipping out. And I mean, the reason I'm saying this is not to try, I'm going to blow the whistle on the law firm model, but I'm just saying like, you know, I think that's a legitimate thing for me to not feel comfortable with. It just doesn't feel good to sit there at month's end going, how do I rack these up? So I hit my target because I don't give a shit what people say. Like that's what lawyers are doing. Cause I know what lawyers do all day. All right. And they're not slaving away in their office. They're not. I don't know how they come up with like, you know, 180 hours per month. And I'm like, you didn't have a 180 hour a month, man. I was there. We went to lunch together. You know what I mean? Like it didn't happen. And, so the whole thing, when she said it's not a great fit. I felt since I had processed what that really meant, that I'm completely fine and in agreement with that. It's not a good fit because I don't enjoy that kind of work. So I didn't take it personally. In fact, I interpreted that as it's actually good that I'm not compatible with this practice.
Mm.
So I'm not upset. I didn't take that as like being rejected by a lover. You know, like we're not a good fit. You know, you're not up to my standards. That's not how I
mean, sure. But that's an interesting analogy because, you know, when you were talking about it earlier, it did somehow strike me as like a breakup when the relationship just isn't, you know, everyone knows it's just not going that great.
Mm.
But you know, it's one of those, like you're not, I'm breaking up with you. You're not breaking up with me moments.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not good. Like, you're not invested in the staying together, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
If you're not controlling, if you're not in control of that end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I, you know, the thing is, like, I, you know, this relationship is inherently tilted, like, in terms of power. Like, I have no power. Like, I have no leverage over this. Mm-hmm. I have nothing. You know, the only thing I can do is prepare and then be as, you know, be as under control as possible so that I don't do anything dumb. That's the only thing you can do, is you could just play your hand as smart as you can. But there's no way that you're going to, like, enact any leverage against this firm or these people. Like, there's no way, right? So just don't, you know, don't even bother with that. And I, you know, I think that helped me because, like, I don't know exactly when. Maybe I think it was a later, like, in my career that I realized this, but it's like, you know, I'm a like, a lot of professional services, lawyers in particular, the best thing to think of yourself as is a butler. You're a service provider. You know, you don't, you're not bringing your whole self to this. You got to bring, like, a professional persona to this. You've got to take your personal shit and you've got to leave that at home or store it in a, you got to, you know what I mean? Like, you got to switch desktops, you know what I mean? And don't bring that into the professional space. Sure. And you've got to conduct yourself with total professionality and you've got to read every fucking relationship correctly. Like, you cannot misread. Like, that's the thing that I think get people into really ugly situations. And this other woman at work, this is a whole fucking thing that I had to go through with someone where it was like, you know, I think her big problem was she was misreading relationships. And she was bringing too much of herself and her own neuroses and emotions.
Is this the woman you met, you talked about?
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah, the one that they ultimately had to fire because she won't, she runs her mouth and says dumb things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things always go bad. And she was telling, like, this was the red flag. I mean, for that, I knew something was up because she kept telling me she has, like, a persecution complex. And she was, I remember she told me that, you know, like, this is a thing that dogs women in a way where I, as a man, can't understand. And I was like, look, I'm not saying that that's not the case generally, but here I'm like, if you notice, I'm the only man on this team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm way, way outnumbered. My boss is a woman here. My boss at the firm is a woman. My boss's boss is a woman. And all of you in my team are all women. I'm the only man. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, anyway, that's a whole other story. But yeah, I think she was just someone who, like, wasn't able to be the, you know, you got, I was like, be like Anthony Hopkins in Remains of the Day. Everything is a fucking yes, sir. You know, I was just watching Shawshank. We should talk about Shawshank. And it's Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins and the fucking warden. You know, like, yeah, he knows all the shit. Like, I was just telling Shannon, I was like, I totally relate to this, you know, like, all the fucking grift that's going on. And, you know, I know, but I don't say anything. You just, like, you report to this person because that's just how it is. You're not free. You're not free. Stop pretending like you're free to say what you want or think what you want. And if you don't like it, leave. And that's what I was, that's why I'm leaving, you know?
You know? Fair.
But so long as you're there, you better shut the fuck up. You could take notes. You can take mental notes, of course. You don't have to forget, but, you know, you don't, you just say yes. Okay.
This is what the discreet substance abuse problem is for.
Mm.
The mild gambling addiction and the drinking problem. That's where this stuff comes from.
Okay. Say more.
You're bottling it up. Mm. It has to vent somewhere.
Right.
Right. Like, if you're completely, you know, at one in the workplace, you're going to get canned. We all are.
Yeah, I mean, you mean if you let your real self out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why all of our like icons are people who are able to do that. Either set because it's the thing that we absolutely cannot do.
It's also why after work, like a lot of like I found this out. Like, don't go to the office party and get drunk because there's people always fucking go too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember one time when I was at it was like one of my older jobs. Like, you know, one of the stock loan guys, it's always the stock loan guys. They, you know, he got drunk and then started telling my friend, who I'm still friends with, who was in like the compliance team or whatever. He was drunk and he was like, I hate my wife.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
She's like, huh? He was like, I can't fucking stand that bitch. You know, and he was like, and you're so beautiful. Like, it's, you know, it's just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it always, that shit always fucking happens.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yikes. So,
yeah. These guys, they can't fucking control it. And they don't, you know, it's like, no, you got to be like Anthony Hopkins. Game face. All the way to the bitter end. It's got to be like Shawshank. Game face all the way until that hole is complete. Mm-hmm. You don't say anything. You know? You're digging a hole. If you're not digging a hole for yourself, you're just wasting your time. You got to keep digging that hole. You've got to have that. Like, that's the thing that the Tim Robbins guy did, Dufresne, Willie Dufresne. What he was doing was instead of like trying to, he just kept it all behind that poster, you know, and every little indignity, every little thing, he was like, I'm just going to think about it when I chip a little bit of away at the wall tonight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You've got to dig your fucking hole to get out. And that's what I've been doing. I've been digging my hole. And I'm, you know, and it's like, it was so weird because it's like, I'm like six weeks away from like walking out my hole. And then they come and parole me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And give you a little, offer you a little gift basket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the best case scenario. So, I mean, glad that's how you got off.
Yeah. I mean, I chalk this up to like, well, one, like, yeah, I mean, you've got to kind of like accept that good fortune sometimes come in strange forms, like being laid off. It can be a good thing if it fits your plans. But it's hard to explain that, you know, like, I'm not going to, most people, like, you know, over Christmas, I don't think I'm going to be telling my family exactly what happened because I don't think they're going to understand, you know? Mm. Maybe they would, but I would have to explain it, you know?
I cannot talk about work with my parents.
They don't get it. They just don't, you know, they have a different thing about it.
It's a fundamentally different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing, because I ran my own business, my mom, it in her brain, it doesn't count as work.
Okay. What does it count as?
It counts as me being a weirdo with a wild hair up my ass, taking a giant outsized risk.
Oh, she's saying you're not being serious.
Yeah, it's not being serious. Mm-hmm. So like she'll talk about like if I'm talking about, you know, like, you know, I'm doing my own game planning. Like, what do I want? Like, do I get back and do I go get a job? Do I start another business? What do I do? Like, do I freelance? What, in this messed up job market, what, and like taking a good look at what the terrain is, like, what's my best move here? Mm-hmm. And then she'll be like, since you haven't worked in 15 years, here's my advice. Like, what do you mean I haven't worked in 15 years? Like, that's the kind of like cognitive gap I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't stick in her head that I have any idea what I'm talking about when dealing with to fulfill what she thinks of as work. It's not quite, she knows that I wasn't on vacation.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, I was just kind of running around doing some nonsense, but I wasn't buckling down and doing grown up serious work, which involves like a boss. It involves an institution, preferably one that, you know, somebody on the street has heard of, that kind of thing. Like, being the smallest cog in the biggest wheel would have counted as more legitimate work in her eyes.
I think there's only one solution to that, which is just don't talk to her about it.
That's, you know, like, that's basically, like, right,
whatever.
There's only two. There's only two ways out of that. One is never talk to her about that, or be like, show her where my company I PO'd in the Korean Times headlines. That's the only place that's going to actually matter. If right. a company that I founded IPOs and it makes the front page of the Korea Times, then she will see that I've worked.
Right.
That's the kind of thing.
It's not worth it. Like, who cares? You know, like, who cares what she thinks?
One is just way easier than the other, I think. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
We're way past the point of needing approval from fucking parents. What I need for them is just to continue believing what it is that they believe, because, you know, their heart, their pulse, and their breathing and body stasis, all that is dependent on it. So it's like, yes, keep believing that. Yes.
We don't need sudden shocks right now.
No sudden shocks. Yeah. Let's not argue about stuff. I just nod my head and go, yes, yes, that's right. Good. Good. Keep thinking. Whatever it is you need to think, what does it matter?
Yeah. I mean,
it was, whatever you want to believe, it doesn't matter.
It's just bringing up a ton of, like, funny little moments when I was first, like, getting started. You know, it's chaotic, and, you know, and so my mom would be like, oh, since you're free, you can come, like, you know, wait for my packages or something, because I'm going to be at work. Like, what do you mean? I have a client meeting. Like, who? What?
You think she really meant that? Or is that a passive-aggressive dig? Or, like, what
She's
is
not
that?
A passive-aggressive person. It just literally did okay, not that's register.
Different. Yeah.
That's yeah, because true. I don't have a boss, then I'm goofing off.
Right.
If someone isn't signing my checks, then, you know, I'm just kind of being a dilettante. Just kind of being a white collar whore out there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Who do you belong to? Who owns you? Yeah. Why don't you have an owner? Yeah.
What street do you work on? What street corner do you work on? Yeah, basically.
In Japan, you'd be a Ronin and you should commit seppuku. You know, luckily that's not exactly what you got to do. But in other times, we would expect you to ritually disembowel yourself.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah. Such great dishonor would result in
much shame.
Yeah. Public self beheading. You have to cut your own head off.
Damn.
Yeah. Masterless samurai. Look,
sincere apologies to any Japanese listening. We don't actually know what we're talking about, so we just made it up.
I will say, I for the day before the call, like for those 24 hours or whatever, you know, I've been down this road before. It's my first rodeo. I went through the Great Financial Crisis. My career has been marked by instability, more so than I think even most lawyers. I mean, most lawyers I do know change jobs, but I've changed job probably at twice the rate of most people I know.
I mean, isn't
journeyman?
My understanding of it, somebody who's just known lawyers, is it's a little chaotic coming out of law school, right? You get like those internships, you get maybe a placement at a big firm, churn is pretty high, so you kind of bounce around a little bit, but when you find your forever home, basically, you just kind of stay there. Or is that an outdated employment model in law too now?
I don't know. I really don't know because I don't really pay attention. Like, I'm so, you know, it's one of these things where like a lot of people like read above the law and they're like really focused on like the industry rumors. And, you know, it's like, I could not care less.
What's above the law?
Is that an industry.
Is it like TechCrunch?
Yeah, it's like TechCrunch for lawyers.
Okay. It's actually run by an Asian dude
named David Latt. What?
Is it as bad as TechCrunch is?
Yeah, like, it's pretty trash. I mean, but they have good rumor. I mean, they have good stories. You know, they break stories about, oh, you know, and but it's always stuff like, you know, Kirkland and Ellis lose this partner to that, or these lawyers departed that to, you know, go here. Another loss for, you know, and my firm shows up all the time and with bad news. It's always bad news. You know, it's always like, you know, so 59 like departures this year. So
So it's like TMZ, but for lawyers.
Yeah, it's like TMZ for lawyers, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
TechCrunch just shills for whichever VC gives them PR money to pump up their bad investments.
Yeah. And of course, it's super fucking focused on comp. You know, so they're always the ones they get juicy insider. They're the first to break, like, what are bonuses this year? Is Cravath raising the Cravath scale? You know, all this stuff, like, you know, it's another $15,000 bump for first years, you know? And everyone flocks to that shit because, look, you're in it for the fucking money. That's all you care about, dirty bastards. Right? And so, point being, I started out over 20 years ago at a firm, and I think that some of the guys, I can think of like a couple, they're probably still there. And the fact that there is a person or two who has been there for 20 fucking years is both awe-inspiring and depressing as fuck at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine being there for 20 years. That place was hell on earth. But yeah, you know, I mean, and they're probably partners, you know, and they're probably living and breathing that fucking firm like it's their goddamn life. And you could tell early on who was like that. Like, you know, just who was just really caught up in the sort of like firm man, you know, like the guy who just becomes really that's his whole fucking identity. You know what I mean? I just never understood that. And so honestly, I don't think I can work at a place for more than 5 years. That's my limit, and I just need to get the fuck out. I need to change. I can't do more than 5 years.
The only company I've ever stayed 5 years at was my own. But that's kind of the norm, I think. I think that although that norm is changing now that we have a new batch of like legacy players, like the big FANG companies are legacy companies now.
Sure.
But I also think that's a little misleading as this year's tech layoffs is kind of making very clear. Like if you signed as a Google engineer, I feel like a lot of people kind of celebrate this as the capstone moment. Like they're set, they're going to get the gold watch from Google. That's not true. They make mortgage decisions and where to send their kids to college based on the anticipated comp 10, 20 years out from being a Google guy.
Right.
Like there's still a lot of volatility.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a huge mistake. And I'm sure a lot of formerly well compensated people are kind of getting kind of hit in the face with this now. Like just because that pay package was good and Facebook's been around for 15 years does not mean you are going to have a job in 15 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, I've put myself, I think, in, for me, the best possible situation in order in terms of like, because I know, I suspect that I'm part of a round of stealth layoffs, because I know I get the feeling like other people have been or not there either. The way they conducted this made me feel like it was part of a rolling process. You know what I mean? Like telling me this whole thing about like we were weighing when to tell you. I'm like, I think they were probably making that decision sort of like for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a business decision on their end, not out of necessarily like tender consideration for you.
Yeah, if it was just me, why do they care?
Right. I mean? They just don't want to have to announce like if they've laid off like 10,000 people at once, that's going to cause a ripple.
Yeah. I just really highly doubt that the HR department of my law firm was like, I wonder if we should ruin teens' Christmas and give them more time or what. Like, they didn't sit there and think about teens.
Like, oh, but he's a married man. We can't do it to him right before Christmas. Come on. Can we get on a quick call to talk about this?
Yeah. No. It's part of a thing, you know? And so, and of course, they had to, it was like an urgent to tell me before the holidays, because I think they do want to like record it in their they want to record it for the fiscal year and all this stuff. So, but I guess my point is that, yeah, I think that there is that it's not just law, obviously. Like, I've been seeing a lot of like YouTube videos about people talking about having gotten laid off in big tech. And in general, just in general, like a lot of white collar, highly compensated professionals and people who have been there for a long time. Some of them, this is their first layoff, but it's happening. But it's not what this is like stealth. You know, I think this is happening quietly for some reason. And they're not making a big splash with this. They're trying to do it somewhat under the radar. And, you know, I will say, like, for that 24 hours where that, you know, I couldn't help but relive some of the same kinds of fears that plagued me when this happened to me earlier on when I came out of, like, you know, for example, like when my first layoff was the firm actually went out of business, So it was not like we regret to inform you that, you know, there's not a place for you here at the firm anymore. It's like, we regret to inform you that the firm doesn't exist anymore. I was like, oh shit. That's not good.
I've gotten plenty of, I don't even know what to call that. Like, is that a layoff? Is that a firing? I don't know, because I just showed up for work and there was a deadbolt on it.
Yeah.
And a lab, and like, we're like, what? I mean, we're just a bunch of nerds, like, clutching our backpacks. Well, what are we supposed to do now? And then, like, the landlord comes by and, like, yeah, he didn't pay rent for like 6 months. Like, six fucking, are you kidding me?
Whoa, what was this place?
I don't even remember the name. This was so long ago. It's just a fly by night, like VC scam. Like the guy basically pocketed the Series B and then took off.
Oh,
yeah. While giving us the spiel, like, okay, we're this is crunch time. The numbers aren't numbering right now, so we're gonna need you guys to, like, forego, you know, your weekends and possibly bonuses or whatever. Some of these people even took a pay cut the prior couple of months because because, you know, this huckster. That means scammer, right? I'm not misusing that word, right? Yeah. Like, really, you know, worked the charisma machine to crank it out of them. And then literally, like, fled the country or something. Yeah. Like some, so I don't even
sounds like some Vivek Ramaswamy shit.
Wait, is that what he did?
I know. It was a little less sketchy than that. He actually did do something, but it wasn't much. Like, he.
Okay. He bought
like an expired patent on this or something like that. It was all
bullshit. Oh, he pulled that.
Or like a Chamath, you know, with his fucking SPACs, you know.
Sure.
Like,
okay. Yeah.
Well, IPO first and then figure out what the business is. That's SPAC.
Fuck that guy.
Literally, man. That's what it is. We're going to IPO first and then we'll figure out what our business is.
And this becomes the handbook for everybody else who wants a piece of that action.
Yeah. I explained that to Shan once. What SPAC is, and she was like, "Oh, it's like a blind box, but for an IPO." It's like, yeah, you buy into an IPO, and then it's like a blind box. You know, you never know what you're going to get. Maybe you get something good. Maybe it's all shit. I don't know, but it's going to cost you $13 a share.
I can't do this, man. I'm not built for this.
That's what I'm saying. Here, okay, this is the thing. Is like the first thing. Should we transition over to the bonus where I'm going to explain to you? As best I can, the listener, not you, Jess, you already know the shit, but like, I'm going to explain, I think, what helped me in terms of like how to process the nature of like why it is that I think people should not really feel bad about this stuff. And yes, loss of income is tough. Even tougher, though, is like the loss of purpose and identity.
Have to do the severance. Have to do the severance. You got to do it yourself.
Yeah. We should talk about that. We should work in some of that. Because I did, in talking about this with Chan over the weekend, that show also came up. Mm. And I thought, yeah, you know, there was a certain kind of social, like, sharpness bite to that first season that I thought was really interesting. So maybe we'll talk about it in the bonus.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, we'll end the pod here. And if you want to listen to part two, it'll be on our bonus feed. As usual, if you want to access the bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/playnameag.